This morning's scripture is from Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11, 20, and 21. That's Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11, 20, and 21. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment.
Thank you, Kevin, and worship team, and everyone that's been involved in the service thus far. This morning we are continuing what we started last week, and if you remember last week we looked at one verse in the book of John, and this is what Jesus was saying to his disciples. And I'm actually going to read two verses. Last week it was just one. Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we are using that verse, that command, that suggestion, more than a suggestion, that Jesus gave us as a springboard for what we're looking at in these next five Sundays. And it was interesting, Phil texted me this morning that I guess you must have the Bible Gateway app, and I guess the verse of today for Bible Gateway was Romans 12:10, "Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves." And so there's those two verses, and there's many more that we can use, but those are what we're looking at, and we looked at that last week. In these next couple Sundays, we're going to say, okay, how can we do that? This is what we're striving after. This is what we want to do. This is the goal. This is the ultimatum that Jesus gave us, is to get here, that your love for each other is so strong and so evident that people can look at you from the outside and say, wow, there's something different going on there. There's something amongst these group of Christians that their love is a different type of love than what I see in the world outside, and that we are to be identified by that. And so a tool that we're using to try to get there is the five love languages, and that's written by Gary Chapman. He speaks on WCRF regularly. He's got a podcast. He's got a website. He's got plenty of books out there. And so what we're doing is we're taking the five love languages, which is basically in a nutshell saying everyone kind of has a language that has been, you know, hardwired into your being of how you express love to each other and how you receive that love. And Gary Chapman is a Christian brother, and so this is a Christian tool, although it's helpful for many in the secular world as well. But we're going to take this tool of the five love languages. We're going to look at all five different love languages. This morning we're looking at words of affirmation. And we're going to look and say, how can we apply this as a church? How can we go through this as a church? And how can we get more to look like what Jesus was asking us to look like, is that our love for each other is so special that we can be identified by the outside. I've heard a quote out there that the role of church leadership is to equip the saints for the work of the church. And so what we're doing these next five Sundays is we're trying to equip ourselves for doing the work of the church, and that is love. We're called to love not just ourselves, but everyone else. And so the next five Sundays are equipping Sundays, training Sundays, where we get some training on how to better love. And so we're going to dive right in. But I will just say this from the start, is that this equipping and this training, this can't be a one-way street. Okay, I can't just get up here and regurgitate to you Gary Chapman's information and say this. You guys can all read the book if you want. This is going to have to be a two-way street. And by that, I mean we're going to need participation in order to know what everyone's love language is. Okay, now that's how we're going to try to play this out, is that the end game here is the goal at the end of this sermon series is that we have a list of all the people of Crown Hill. It says, you know, name here and primary love language and probably secondary love language. We'll probably do the top two. And we want to have that list. And then we're also going to have, we're working on some ideas of appropriate things to do for fellow church folks that have this love language. So if the love language like today is word of affirmation, we're going to try to come up with a list of things that you can do for someone that their love language is words of affirmation, how you can express love to them. So we're trying to get this tool together, this equipping together, that we can love each other better. And so that we need participation. And so there was a link in the email that went out last week. There is a hard copy in all the church mailboxes. And if you need more, you can tell me. We can print off more copies. So take a shot at this. Now, like I said, this is not necessarily, we're not following a laid out program here. I mean, Gary Chapman has developed the five love languages pretty thoroughly, but I haven't found a church resource like what we're doing. The closest thing that I found is that he has a workplace resource of how to relate to coworkers using five love languages. So that's pretty close. But so we're diving in on this. And so if you have ideas, if you have suggestions, please let me know. But it's gonna need participation. And I understand this may be a stretch for some of you. I mean, some of you might think, okay, I don't necessarily want this type of love coming to me from the congregation. But I challenge you to get a little bit outside your comfort zone and take a step in this, because Jesus said we need to love each other. And so we want this tool amongst us to be able to love each other. Now, we talked about this last week as well, and I want to remind you again today, and we'll probably remind you ongoing throughout this series, is that we need to keep our focus in mind. We need to keep the big picture in mind, is that we ourselves are not the end game. We aren't the goal. We aren't the focus of this. We're not just trying to end up with a big, happy, close community. I think C.S. Lewis sums it up well. He has a quote, and maybe you've heard this before. C.S. Lewis says, "If you aim at heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim at earth, you will get neither. If you aim for heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. If you aim for earth, you'll get neither." And so we need to keep that in mind as we do this together as a church. We can't aim at ourselves. We can't aim at earth, this earthly church that we have. We can't aim at ourselves and say our goal is just to love each other and be happy together. That's an earthly goal. And if we aim at that, as C.S. Lewis says, we're not going to get anything. But if our aim is heaven, if our aim is Christ, if our aim is to love the Lord our God, as he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, that's the most important commandment. That needs to be our aim. And if we do that, in that process, we're going to get earth thrown in. We're going to have a closer community. We're going to learn to love each other more closely. And as Jesus says, the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the most important, we just need to keep that perspective. The most important thing is to be loving on God, to be developing our relationship with God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love our neighbor. So I just want to keep that in front of us as we dive into this five love languages study, to keep in mind this is not the end game. The end game is to love Christ more, and as we love Him more, we'll be drawn together closer as a community. Let's say a prayer before we jump into this study. Dear God, we thank you for demonstrating a perfect love for us. You demonstrated that in how you interacted with your disciples, and ultimately how you laid down your life on our behalf. And Lord, we know that you lived that life as an example that you wanted us to follow. And so, Lord, as we dive into this study of the five love languages, Lord, I pray that you would use this as a tool here at Crown Hill, that we can love each other better, that we can ultimately love you better, and also invite other people into that love. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we work towards that end, that your Holy Spirit would be empowering us in miraculous ways, because we know this is beyond the scope of what we can do just on our human power. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that Chapman talks a lot about in his book, he uses a metaphor of an emotional love tank. So he talks about a love tank. And so this is something you guys, you know, all of you know how gas tanks work on cars, right? You know, if you don't have gas in your gas tank in your car doesn't start and it doesn't move forward and your car can't perform its function as a car. And so Chapman uses that analogy as us as human beings. Just like a car can't function without gas in the tank, we as human beings can't fully function without our love tanks being full. Unless we are receiving love, unless we're in loving relationships where we receive love and our quote-unquote love tank is being filled up, we won't be able to operate as humans. We'll break down and we'll have troubles and we just won't be able to function properly. That's one of the ways that God has hardwired us to be in loving relationships, to give and to receive love. And so Chapman uses that analogy that we need to think of ourselves as having a love tank. And this tank needs to be being filled up. And of course, as we just talked about, our primary source for that filling, that primary source of love coming into us should be from Christ. You know, as we have that loving relationship with God, we allow the Holy Spirit to pour into us and fill us up. And so we should have that love filling us up from Christ. But also, you know, God created us to be in relationships. We can't, even though, you know, it's the most important thing is to have that loving relationship with Christ, we can't function as human beings alone. You know, there's some people that are loners and there's some people that are more extroverted, but we all need those horizontal relationships. We all need our love tanks to be filled by other humans as well as by Christ, our Creator. And so we just keep that in mind. And that's even though Chapman uses the love tank principle, it's also very biblical. We talked about in Psalms 23, says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." That idea of us having the overflow is like out of the overflow of our love that we love other people, out of the overflow of Christ filling us up that we can spill out into the people around us. And so we have that idea of a love tank being full and filled. And so love languages then is basically, there's different types of love that fill up each of our tanks. As we talk about this morning, we're going to talk about words of affirmation. And so for some people, it's those words that just really fill up a love tank. Whereas some person you can speak a word of affirmation to, and it's just like, thank you, but doesn't really do a whole lot. And we're going to look at in the next coming Sundays, what possibly if words of affirmation aren't what does it for this person, there might be something else. It could be acts of service. It could be giving gifts. Could be hugs, physical touch, something along those lines. And so keep in mind that this is an analogy I think is helpful, is that we all have that tank. And we all have things that drain that tank too. You know, you're around people and you try to love them, and that's where you feel like, whew, I am empty and you need to be filled up. You know, especially, I'm sure parents, you all know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, there's things that fill us and there's things that drain us. And we're talking about the love language of how to be filled. So today, words of affirmation. And here's a definition, Tim. I think I put that on the screen. This is not verbatim from Chapman. I kind of paraphrase it a little bit, but this is how we would define words of affirmation. Those whose love language is words of affirmation will not feel love, will not have their, quote, love tanks filled up unless they hear complimentary, encouraging, and kind words spoken to them. So just in a nutshell, they need to hear this. Love language people that are words of affirmation need to hear words of affirmation. That is how they give and receive love. And so for someone, I mean, it's really quite simple. You know, we could stop here and just be done for the rest of the morning. It's pretty simple. They need to hear compliments. They need to hear encouragement. They need to have kind words spoken to them. And so, and I should just say this as a caution. You know, a lot of people, and Chapman talks about this a lot in the book, if your love language isn't words of affirmation, and if your love language isn't something else, it's easy for you to judge people who have a different love language. And that's just common for humanity. We easily judge other people. So if you're not a words of affirmation person and you see this definition, you might think, what shallow people, you know? Always need to be saying nice things. It's like you just always got to be treating them with little kid gloves and say nice things. Well, that's true. You know, that's what people that have this love language, they need this, all right? They just need it. And you know, it's very easy, I think, to get cynical about people whose love language is gifts. You know, we'll talk about that later, but, you know, it's easy to get cynical about that. It's like, oh, so materialistic. They need gifts to feel loved. Well, it's easy for you to say that, but you're not a gifts person. And so just caution against judging other people. When you read this, it might seem petty, but this is how these folks receive and give love. So for them, this is very, very important. For you, you might not ever need a compliment in your life, and you'll just be fine. For other people, if they don't receive this compliment, they're just like, they're struggling. Like, why isn't anyone noticing anything I'm doing? Why isn't anyone appreciating anything I'm doing? There's a quote from Mark Twain. He says, I can go a good 2 months on one good compliment. You know, basically he's saying, a good compliment fills up my love tank so full that I can go 2 months on it. That's Mark Twain's take on it. So words of affirmation. And you see in here, there's three different things. There's compliments, there's encouraging, and there's kind words. Let's just walk through that a little bit. So verbal compliments. And this is very simple. If people are doing things that you notice that are good, tell them. Say it to them. Affirm them. Compliment them. You know, it's amazing how small of a thing can fill up someone's love tank if they're words of affirmation. You don't have to sit back and wait for them to perform this huge act, just unbelievable thing that, like, wow, and go up to them and pat them on the back. I can't believe you accomplished that. That was incredible. I mean, you don't need to wait for someone to win a championship or to be the professional whatever. You know, it can be small, insignificant things. The thing here is not how big or how great the accomplishment is. It's just the fact that someone took the time to notice and to compliment them on it. That's the important thing. That's the expression of love. It's not really a matter of how big the act was that you're complimenting them on or how significant it is. The big thing is you noticed and you took the time to tell that person that you noticed and you gave them a compliment on it. And that is what registers in the words of affirmation. Now for me, I don't remember if I said this last week, in doing my profile, my top love language is quality time, but my second one is words of affirmation. So I can relate to this a little bit more closely. And I can remember, just to give a little indication of how insignificant of a comment can be significant for a words of affirmation person. And Michelle, I'll put you on the spot here, but sorry, I put Twyla on the spot last week. When I first started here at Crown Hill, it was probably within my first week, I went down and was helping at the food pantry. And Michelle said something along the lines to me. Says, "It's good to see a pastor's car park out in the parking lot." And I don't know if you remember that at all, Michelle, but I remember that because I took it as a compliment. She was saying, I mean, what I understood her to be saying is, "I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you here, and it's good to see you part of the church now." And that's really insignificant. It's like she said, "It's good to see a pastor's car in the parking lot." That's not a huge compliment. I didn't do anything really immense to achieve that. It's not like she's patting me on the back for a big accomplishment. I drove in and I parked, all right? But, and I did. I told her later, like, "That's great. I'm glad to know that you appreciate that, because what I'm going to do now is I'm going to park my car there and then I'm going to bike out. And I'll just be out on the bike all day long and you can think I'm in the office. You'll never know if that's actually what I'm doing or not, unless you stop in to see me." But, I mean, again, it's not like I accomplished anything great there. It's just that Michelle noticed and she took the time to tell me, and that meant something to me. And so now, almost 3 years later, I still remember that. It was significant to me. And so, again, don't sit back and wait for great accomplishments. Notice what people are doing. Notice, and it doesn't have to be an accomplishment. It can be a quality they have, just the way they handle themselves, the way they dress themselves, the way they talk to someone. The important thing is that these people know that you're noticing them and you're taking time to compliment them. And those compliments go a long ways. Even though for you, it might not be going anywhere. You know, if someone else told you something, like, "This would mean nothing to me," realize that it could mean a lot to someone else. This is just like learning a different language. You know, if you say buenos dias to you, that might not mean anything. But to the Spanish person, you just said good morning, and that meant something to them. You're learning a different language here. And so just realize it doesn't have to be a great thing. It can be an attribute. It could be the way they handle themselves. Compliment them on it. Just let them know. So compliments are the top one. Another one is words of encouragement. Words of encouragement. You know, there's in the sports world, you talk about, you know, coaches talk about, that kid will run through a wall for you. And that's the type of kid you want on your team, because you know they're going to work hard and they're going to do whatever you ask them to do, and they're going to give 110% every time you ask them to do. If it's setting a screen or if it's running the play, you say, "That guy will run through a wall for you." And that's what I think of with words of affirmation people. If you encourage someone whose love language is words of affirmation, they'll run through a wall for you. You know, some people you can feel like you're just wasting your breath. You're trying to pump them up. You're trying to encourage them. You're trying to tell something to them. You can do this. I see this in you. I see this talent in you. I see this ability in you. I see this strength in you. And you're saying this to them, and it's just like, okay, great. Probably means that they're not a word of affirmation type person. But for word of affirmation person, if you give encouragement, that goes a long ways. If you encourage someone and say, I see this ability in you, I see this gift in you, I see this talent in you, and they hear that spoken to them verbally as a words of affirmation person, that is huge. You can tell a words of affirmation person, I think you can run through that wall if you run hard enough, and they might try it. Because that's what they feed off of. And so words of encouragement are also very important to think of as someone's top love language is words of affirmation. You can pump them up, you can build them up and encourage them just by spoken words. And third is kindness up there. How you say it matters. And you guys all know this. You know, you can say one sentence one way and the same exact sentence, the same exact words come out of your mouth another way, and one is demeaning and one is very complimentary and kind. And so just keep that in mind. The way you say things are important. And I don't think that's a big deal here, but, you know, you can get into passive-aggressive stuff. Especially in close relationships, you can get into snarky comments and sarcasm and things like that. So something you can say, well, a nice thing, but you say it in a mean way. For someone with a love language of words of affirmation, the way you say it matters. And so if you say something that, you know, the actual words may be complimentary, but if there's some sarcasm in there, if there's some snarkiness in there, they're going to pick up on that real quick. And so that's just something to be aware of. The way you say it is oftentimes just as, if not more important than what you actually say, is say it in a kind way. So those are just three basic ways: verbal compliments, words of encouragement, and kind words. Those are three things. And I've been emphasizing on the spoken, and I think the spoken is very important and more important. But I would say just a tier down would be a written note. You know, if you really are uncomfortable with it. If you don't want to talk to someone, it feels awkward. If you write them a note, that usually kind of engages the same love language as someone. Face-to-face is always better. You know, no matter what it is, if you're writing an email, if you're talking about business, or if you're talking about a love language, if you can do something face-to-face, it's always better. But written notes to someone whose words of affirmation, you can do all these things. You can give an encouragement. You can give a compliment. You can say nice things in a note too, and that's also very meaningful. So I think that's another way that you can express that. Now, in regard to receiving words of affirmation, there's four things I want to talk about. Now, I mean, the last thing I've been talking about is how to give words of affirmation, how to do this. Now, if you're on the receiving end, this is something just to highlight here, some things not to do if you're receiving a word of affirmation. So if someone's listening to the sermon this morning like, I'm going to do this, and you are the recipient of this, there's just some things to keep in mind if you're the recipient of a word of affirmation. One is don't defer. Okay, I think that's something, especially amongst Christians and amongst Mennonites, we have this idea of being humble is you can't receive these things. You know, everything I've just talked about, we struggle to receive those things. So the first one is don't defer. If someone compliments you on something you did, don't say, ah, no, I mean, I had these people help me with it. It was their idea. They started it. I was just the guy that did this. You know, don't defer. Allow them to compliment you on whatever it is they're trying to compliment you. And going in line with that is don't deny it. You know, say, oh, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. You know, don't lie. I mean, if they're complimenting you for something you actually didn't do, you can tell them, sorry, that wasn't me. But don't deny that you've done something that's worthy of a compliment. Don't deny that there's a trait in you that is worthy of being complimented. Don't deny that if someone's trying to inspire you and say, I have these gifts in me, don't say, no, I don't have those gifts, because they're telling you that you see those gifts. Don't tell them they're wrong. Think about it like, oh, well, maybe I do have those gifts. Don't deny it. Third, don't downplay. Don't say, yeah, I know I can do that, but yeah, I know I did that, but it's not that big of a deal. Don't downplay it. They're complimenting you on it. Receive it. And last, don't reciprocate. Now, this is one I would say don't reciprocate immediately. So a lot of times our gut reaction is someone says, oh, I like your shirt. They, well, I like your shirt too. You know, then it's like, I'll receive the compliment. Say thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for noticing. You know, because if you immediately give a compliment right back, that compliment doesn't have the same weight. It doesn't have the same sincerity to it, because the reality is, if that person didn't compliment you first, you wouldn't have complimented them. Now, I say this is kind of a timing thing. You know, it doesn't mean that someone compliments you, like, oh, I can't ever compliment you back, I can't reciprocate. It means don't right away throw something back at them. Receive their compliment. Receive their encouragement. Receive their kind word. And thank them for it. And tell them that it meant something. So just receive it. Don't deny it. Don't defer it. Don't downplay it. And don't reciprocate immediately. And allow people. Because it has to be a two-way street. You know, if people are trying to compliment you, you can shut them down all day long, and eventually they're going to stop complimenting you. It's got to be a two-way street. Also, it has to be sincere. It has to be sincere. Luke 6:35 says this. This is Jesus talking in Luke 6:35. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We're talking about that love tank. If you have a tank that's full, out of that fullness is going to come the words of your mouth. If you have something in your heart that's not a full love tank, what comes out might be something less than complimentary. And so it needs to be sincere. Again, you're not trying to manipulate people. This is something that you need to keep in mind, that if you know someone's love language is words of affirmation, you're not trying to just say nice things to them just to manipulate them. You're not trying to say nice things to them just so you're trying to get something out of them. It's not manipulative. It has to be sincere. It has to come out of a genuine love for that person, a love for that brother or sister in Christ. And out of that, you're going to give a compliment, and that's going to mean a lot. So it needs to be sincere. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so that's what these words we're talking about. Now, to end this morning, what I want to do is just kind of shotgun style, spray a whole bunch of verses at you. Okay, so we've talked a lot about the understanding of the love language. I have them on the screen here. If you want to jot them down, or if you want to sit here and listen, and if you have real quick fingers, if you want to flip around, you're more than welcome to try to keep up. But I'm just going to go down through and see, okay, this is something that Chapman's come up with. This is something that you can talk about, a love language. Is it biblical? Is there a biblical basis for this? You know, as Christians, that needs to be our ultimate filter. It's like, okay, that's a great idea, but is this biblical? And so let's look at some Bible verses. Ruth 2, verse 13. This is Ruth speaking. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. And that she's talking to someone, not the Lord as in God. She said, you have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. So this is Ruth, and the story of Ruth is a long one, but I won't go into that. But basically, there was a man that was very kind to Ruth, and Ruth didn't deserve it. And so she's saying, thank you for speaking kindly, for giving those words of affirmation to me when I didn't deserve it. Now, Proverbs has a whole slew of things that talks about the importance of the words that we say. Proverbs 10:11, these are what Kevin read this morning. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Talking about a fountain of life. The mouth of the righteous can fill up someone's love tank. You know, you just fill it up. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. 10:21. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. Again, the lips of the righteous, the words spoken by a righteous man, nourishes people. Proverbs 12:14. For from the fruit of their lips, people will be filled with good things, and the work of their hands bring them reward. Proverbs 12:18. The work of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Now, just stop. There's a little time out. If you notice, the Bible brings out something here that Chapman doesn't talk about, and we didn't talk about earlier in the message, is that there's two sides to this coin. You know, as powerful as words of affirmation can be to someone whose love language is words of affirmation, the Bible is picking up on something else here. And what it's saying is, as powerful it is for good, it's also that powerful for bad. And so you can really hurt somebody, especially someone whose love language is words of affirmation. If you insult someone of that category, if you say negative things to that,
it's just like what Solomon is saying here. It crushes the spirit. It pierces like a sword, you know. So there's two sides to this coin. And we at Crown Hill, obviously, we want to focus on the positive that can come about here, but we need to also recognize the power of our words for negative as well as for positive. Moving on, Proverbs 15:23. A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Jumping to the New Testament, Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So I would say definitively, yes, this is a biblical principle that we're talking about this morning. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the way that you've blessed Mr. Chaplin with an understanding of the human mind and emotions and how it works, and thank you for his faith in you and how he's ministered to many people, both Christians and non-Christians. And Lord, I thank you for how we can apply this here at Crown Hill, and I pray that you'd be with us as we jump into this study, as we start to do our own tests to find out what our love languages are, as we start to understand a little bit more about ourselves, understand a little bit more about our people sitting next to us in the pew. And Lord, we pray again that we can keep the focus on you, that ultimately that we can bring glory to you through this, that as we grow closer together, we can grow closer to you, and we can invite people in to a closer fellowship that we enjoy. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.